Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome in on this August Saturday. I'm Scott Jagow along with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. She's here to answer your questions. The Garden Hotline, of course, is at your service and has been so for 3+ decades. 104.1 FM, Cam Wex, the voice of St. Louis. The number to call in this morning is 314-436-7900. Again, that's 314-436-7900. The number to ask your question of Michelle. How you doing, Michelle?
I'm doing really good. I'm enjoying this morning weather.
It's beautiful.
It's great.
And the forecast is nothing but 70s after today.
I'm here for it, 100%.
In August, I know. Yeah. I know we're going to get slammed with some sort of second summer.
I'm not thinking about that now. Staying positive, enjoying it, living in the moment.
I agree with you. We already have some calls, so we might as well get started. I appreciate call in early because the later it gets, the less chance you have to actually have your question answered. So let's start with the phones. Bill, you're up first.
Yeah, a while back, there was discussion about pollinator plantings, and I remember one of the names was Bee Balm. And is there a good source for seed like that? I'm out in a rural area, and the big box stores don't tend to have that sort of thing.
There's a ton of seed sources on the internet that you could go through. There's a lot of really great mail order places for plants now. I know it seems crazy to order plants online, but there are a lot of really good sources for that that kind of thing. And even a lot of like farmers markets and things like that will have little seedlings and things. But if you're looking for seeds specifically, we have a really great resource here in Missouri. It's there's an heirloom seed company that you can go through online, and that's out of Southwest Missouri. That's a great place to get seeds. It's called rareseeds.com, but it's here in Missouri. There's also, I think it's Johnson Seed Company, but really, I would go to Rare Seeds. That would probably be a great, great place. There's also, Missouri Wildflowers is a great source for plants. And I'm trying to think of another one here. But those two, I think, would be really a great place to start. Midwest Ground Covers is another one that does great mail order stuff that's semi-local. But so Midwest Ground Covers, rareseeds.com, and Johnson Seeds.
Okay, great. Now, they when you buy these, are they dated so you know that you're getting 2025?
Yes, if you're buying from a reputable seed company, there should be a date on there so that you know So if you get a seed packet that doesn't have a date on it, I would be kind of leery about that. But, you know, a lot of times when we're seeding perennials, you know, seeding them in the winter time is a great time to do it because a lot of them need to get some stratification over the winter, which just means they have to go through a cold spell. So a lot of times we can recommend putting out those perennial seeds, you know, in December, even January,
stir the seeds into the dirt somewhat in the bed. Okay. Okay. And, the new harvest or whatever, you know, 2025 seeds, like November, probably they would have that then.
Yeah. And a lot of them will have some, you know, now, and they will have availability on a good website. They will have availability and it will tell you they are out of stock, and they will, oftentimes you can order them and then they will send them to you at the appropriate time as well. So,
oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that'd be super. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck to you.
Thanks, Bill, for calling 314-436-7900. We've got a full bank of phones right now. Let's go next to Tom. Good morning.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I have a variety of dormant spots in my fescue lawn. Should I rake them out and reseed or just let it go? Thanks.
It's a good question. You know, I'm learning a lot this summer about turf care. I actually had a meeting a couple of days ago with, you know, a pointer. We don't do any of our lawn stuff in-house. We use a sub, and our sub is Spectrum Lawn Care. I had a meeting with him out on a job site earlier this week because, you know, a lot of grasses or a lot of lawns are not looking their best. It's been a really rough year for grass. So one of the questions that I did ask him was, do we need to be raking up these dead spots? And the answer is yes and no. So I think if it's super matted right before you do your overseeding, if you need to rake up some of that dead or, you know, like sometimes that grass when it dies, it's like really compact over the top of the soil where it's kind of died back. So you could rake it up. They also have little tools that you can get at your garden centers called cultivators. And that can help to kind of break up some of that grass, that dead stuff. But definitely, you know, if there's a lot of it, you could certainly do that before you start overseeding here in the next few weeks.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Tom. Up next, we have Lou. Good morning, Lou. You're on with Michelle, Garden Hotline.
Good morning. What a beautiful day. I have two questions. One, I have some iris. I planted one iris about 2 years ago, and they're absolutely huge, and the stalks are bright, vibrant green. The others are starting to look like it's becoming fall and starting to cut back. When can I start cutting those back? Because the problem I have, and the two questions I will have, is I'm going to have an operation at some point, and I'm not going to be able to work my gardens afterwards for some time. When would be a good time to start cutting back those?
You can actually do this right now. Iris aren't looking good. Some of them are. Let's give some of them some credit. Some of them are still looking good. But again, it's been a rough summer. We're kind of getting to the end of the summer. There's a lot of perennials out there that maybe aren't looking their best. And I say go for it now. I think that, you know, any of these iris, even if they are looking good, actually late summer into fall is a great time to transplant iris and to do maintenance on them. So right now, if you wanted to go ahead and cut those back to, let's say, 3 inches or so, you can get rid of that foliage that may not be looking its best. And even the stuff, like I said, the stuff that is still green isn't really going to be harmed too much by that, because if I were to go and transplant my iris right now, I would also cut them back pretty hard to, you know, 3 or 4 inches before I transplanted them. So right now, you know, into fall is a fine time to be cleaning up
and
those iris
blades. And what about my perennials? I have hoskas, I've got peonies, I've got daylilies, I've got a bunch of really nice perennials that have been outstanding because of the amount of water.
Sure.
But I'd like to, at some point, cut those back simply because I'm not going to be able to work it for probably a couple months after this operation?
Yeah, and again, this is a great question. So most of the time, you know, we want to wait until our first frost before we start cutting things back. And the reason for this mostly is because we want that plant to keep photosynthesizing all the way into the fall. And as they do that, they are taking energy and storing that back into their roots for the winter so that they have that energy to push out new growth and then start photosynthesizing again in the spring. When we cut them back early, that's just taking a little bit of their time away of storing that energy back down into their roots. More established plants and even plants like hosta, daylilies, those are really hardy, tough plants. So daylilies right now are also looking really bad. And in fact, if you cut back daylilies right now, you know, cut back all that foliage that's looking pretty rough, it will likely push up a little bit of new growth before the fall. And then you may have like a little a tuft of basal foliage there at the ground. But for the most part, you know, when you clean up all of this stuff at this time of year, all you're doing is taking a little bit of energy away. But things like daylilies, iris, even those peony right now are looking pretty rough from all the powdery mildew. You know, we've started in some cases cutting that stuff back. So, you know, it's an aesthetic thing that we don't want to do. It sounds like for you, it's that you need to get things done earlier, because of, you know, health reasons or whatever. So I would say for things like hosta, daylilies, especially established plants that are tough like that, it would be okay to start cutting those
Thank
back.
Thank you very much. Yep. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Thanks for the call. The number to call in for your question is 314-436-7900. We'll continue in just a moment with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping on the Garden Hotline, 104.1 FM, KMOX. Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline. Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping here to answer your questions at 314-436-7900. Let's continue with your phone calls. Jim, you're up next. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for your service. I got a question about fungicides. I'm an amateur lawn guy, and when you read about it online, it's dizzying. You got this, you got that, brown rust, red rust. You can't really, it's complex, but is there a general fungicide that an amateur can spray on a lawn that would be like a preventative and just kind of stop it before it starts? Thank you.
Jim, this is a great question, and I'm going to stumble my way through it. Turf is not my strong suit, but I do know that about just in general, fungus is once it's there, it's there. So the word preventative is, I think, the best thing that I can talk about is, you know, doing a disease treatment or fungal treatments before that fungus gets here. So, you know, doing it early in the season. And like I said, we use a subcontractor to do all of our lawn care apps. And if you choose to do, you know, that disease treatment, they do it three times during the year, and they start early, and then they do it three times, hopefully preventing and then treating, you know, to help the spread of fungus, which is basically what fungicide will do after the fungus is present. It's just trying to help control the spread. It's not going to get rid of what's there. So as far as a product name, I don't know what that looks like. Most of the time, the fungicides, I believe, are in granular form. And most of our like garden centers, big box stores that sell seed and fertilizer should have a fungicide that you can put down. And a lot of times you're using it just like you would to overseed or fertilize with like a drop spreader. So that's what I would look for, is a granular form. And then as far as other turf questions, I've been talking to Kevin over at Spectrum. I'm going to try to get him here in the next couple weeks, because I know fall is fastly approaching and there's so much that we can do for our lawns in the fall. So hopefully we can get you a lawn expert here, because again, grass, if it were up to me, I would just remove it all and plant pretty things.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, Jim. Up next, we have Pat. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. I know you recently just talked about cutting plants back already. I have a clematis that climbed on a trellis, and the whole upper part of it, I'd say three-fourths of it, it's just dried out, brittle stems and leaves. So can I cut that back, and should I cut it back all the way to where I see any green, or should I leave it alone? I mean, it's just, it's not doing anything.
Yeah, I totally feel you. We talked about clematis a little bit last week, and mine also, Pat, is not looking very good this time of year, and I'm thinking about cleaning mine up and cutting it back a little bit as well. You know, again, we talked about photosynthesizing and wanting our plants to get as much energy stored in their roots. So if you can cut it back by a third or half, or just top, you know, like cut the top off a little bit to try to get it looking a little bit better going into fall, I think that would be ideal. But if you needed to, you know, if the whole thing looks really bad, maybe you cut it back to 12 or 18 inches so it can maybe possibly still push out a few leaves and have a little bit of energy for the rest of the fall. But certainly I'm going to, you know, so on my list of things to do here in the next week or two in my garden is to clean up my clematis. And that's probably, I'll probably just take the top third off of mine.
Okay, so at the very end of the fall going into winter, should it be cut just down to like a foot off the ground, or?
Yeah. So yeah, once you get into that, you know, and there's basically three types of clematis. One of the types of clematis, or the groups, will bloom on new wood. One blooms on old wood, and one will bloom on new and old wood. So, you know, the majority of the types of clematis that we have here are types that either will bloom on new wood or old and new wood. So cutting them back is typically okay to do. So either at the end of the fall, early winter, or next year when we're at late fall going into spring is the best time to cut those back. And you can cut them back to, you know, I always like to do, you know, about 6 to 12 inches, you know, just to, because I don't always know what group it is in. So if it's a type that grows from the ground, back from the ground every year, it's going to push out new growth anyway. If it's a kind that is going to grow from the existing stems, cutting it back to, you know, 12 inches is basically where.
No, it seems like it comes from the ground every year.
So then you should be able to cut it back pretty hard.
Okay, well, I appreciate your help. Thank you so much.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks, Pat. 314-436-7900. That is the garden hotline to talk with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. Matthew, you are on the garden hotline.
Hey, good morning, Michelle. Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Good. Hey, I was shopping yesterday, and I saw the bulbs are back out in the stores. So I guess soon it's time to put in bulbs if you're planting something new.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about splitting bulbs like irises, and I saw allium in the store yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a beautiful plant when it comes up as well. So if you could just talk a little bit about splitting bulbs, when's a good time to do it, and when's a good time to put those bulbs in, or will allium winter in the St. Louis area?
Yeah, so allium actually is one of my favorite bulbs to use. It's one of my favorite perennials too. There's so many different forms of allium. I think I have 7 or 8 different kinds of allium in my yard. But the bulbs that are available this fall are actually really great and kind of fun. Some of them, you know, there's Allium Globemaster, which is one of my favorites. That that's a big purple sphere that comes up. It starts coming up in the spring and will push up to 3 or 4 feet high, and the flower that's on it, you know, is, you know, 4 to 6 inches, sometimes even a little bit bigger. And they're a little bit later most of the time than tulips and daffodil, but those types of alliums are really cool, and you can buy them now. I've seen them out. I've seen a lot of bulbs out right now. Typically, as far as bulb planting of those types of things like alliums, tulips, daffodils, all of that stuff. I like to use holidays a lot when I think about timing. And when I think about planting bulbs, I typically think about planting around Thanksgiving. You know, we want to wait until we've had a frost in most situations, and then we can plant those types of the fall planted spring blooming bulbs around Thanksgiving. You also okay. mentioned like splitting bulbs. I think you said iris. Iris,
yes,
you can
irises.
Irises you can start doing right now. In fact, this is the most appropriate time to be splitting and separating iris. So what I would do, iris should just be on the surface. They just have those little tubers that are right on the surface. That's where they prefer to be. So digging those out, and kind of like easily, they easily separate just with your hand. Sometimes you might need to use a soil knife or something like that to help it out. And then I like to cut back the foliage to, you know, around 3 or 4 inches, and then kind of thin them out. That's one of the things that, irises really like. Over time, they just get super crowded with all of those tubers. So, you know, separating, giving some to friends, moving them around your yard. But now until really September is the best time to do that with your iris tubers.
Great.
Yep. And make sure when
appreciate
you replant them, you're keeping them. One of the reasons why I cut back that foliage so so short is because they get really top heavy, and we want to keep them right on the surface. The tops of the tuber should be visible, so you should just be planting the roots and about halfway up the tuber and leaving the top part of the tuber exposed. They really want
right,
to...
Right, and I guess it's a good time, and when you say cut back the foliage, it's... I fan them.
Yep.
That's the term I use where, you know, you cut them back to about 3 inches or so and
yep.
they're fanned.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who you know, who are, you know, looking at it and go, well, what do you mean by the root? Isn't that the root? It is a root. It's a tube. Like
it's a
you
tuber.
Said, but
yep.
Yeah, there are, you know, the underneath it, there are hair-like growth. That's the root.
They're, correct.
It just looks like hair. Make
yep.
sure that's in the ground.
That's right.
But you're saying it's a good time to split those now. Great. Because
yep.
they need to be fanned because, you know, they flower in May and they're awfully brown by now.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of them are looking pretty rough around town. So, it's a great time to do it. We have plenty of time before the frost gets here, plenty of time for them to get rooted in. So, you know, it's even if you wanted to do this in late July, you know, we're well into August, but iris, you can start in late July all the way through September is really the ideal time for iris.
And how about those insistent daylilies? I mean, pull that stuff up. And
don't get me started on daylilies. People love daylilies. They're tried and true. You know, I'm a daylily hater because I'm in maintenance. I sell maintenance, and daylilies to me are a lot of maintenance. But they are looking rough right now, so I would definitely be cutting those back.
Oh gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, but I love them because they, you know what, in the heat of, you know, early summer,
mm-hmm.
and they're all over the place. So.
Yeah, they're beautiful flowers.
Right.
I'm not trying. I know it's just that I'm in maintenance, and they are high maintenance, and I like as low maintenance as possible. But
hey. You know, that's job security.
I'm a lazy gardener, though. I want to be lazy about it.
All right. Thanks for calling, Matthew. We appreciate it. The number for your question is 314-436-7900. We'll continue with Michelle Reeser-West on 104.1 FM KMOX in just a moment. Garden Hotline on a beautiful August Saturday morning. Gorgeous forecast. Temperatures in the 70s after today for the next several days. Yes, and it's still August. Michelle Reeser-West is here from Pointer Landscaping. She loves this weather.
I really do.
Me too. Let's get back to the phones. The number is 314-436-7900. Carol, you're on the Garden Hotline.
Hi. I have a question about a boxwood hedge. For the first time, I used my hedge trimmer to cut it back, and now the tops are looking kind of brown and not real attractive. Is it going to come back?
When did you prune them? Recently?
Well, it was just getting pretty shaggy.
Sure.
And normally I, you know, take little hand clippers and mm-hmm. clip, but it's that would have been like a 3-day job.
Sure.
So I used the electric trimmer,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not liking the results.
So what I first think of when you mentioned that is just heat damage. You know, when we prune, especially boxwoods, when it's pretty hot out, even when it's hot and dry, we can have some heat damage, which is the browning of the tips. So I doubt that it had anything to do with you using electric pruners over, you know, some handheld shears. I don't think that that's the issue. I think that it was probably just timing. And then as far as them flushing back out, I think the answer is most likely yes. You know, especially if it was just heat damage. You know, as we're in a really great weather pattern right now. So if you wanted to get out there and kind of prune off anywhere where you have dead or that dieback or browning, kind of try to get that out of there. You know, boxwoods are really going to start pushing out more growth here in the next few weeks as the temperatures are cooler. They'll just push out a little bit more growth going into fall. So I definitely think if you clean up those brown bits now, then it should flush out here in the next few weeks for you.
Okay, thank you. Did I hear you say that you can cut back daylilies now?
For sure. You know, we're talking about daylilies and how rough they are looking at this time of year. So a lot of times you can go out there just by hand. You don't even necessarily need to use your pruners or anything like that. You can pull off some of those browning leaves. You know, and they will flush out. Even if you did it a few weeks ago in the summer when they starting to look brown, you know, if you pull that declined foliage off, it'll probably push out some new growth here in the next month or so.
Well, I do that periodically, but I mean, I usually cut them down sort of like the iris.
Yep.
For the winter. Is it too early to do that with them?
Yeah, I mean, if you cut things back now, we still have plenty of time and plenty of good temperature. You know, we're at the mid to end of August. We should get our first light frost mid to late September. First hard frost is typically in October. So we're still technically in the growing season. So when you cut things back, you're basically asking your plant to make more. So if we cut all this stuff back, it's going to flush out new growth. And then you can leave that little foliage on a daylily over the winter. Or you could cut it back again, you know, once we get that frost.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much.
Yep.
Thanks for calling in, Carol. 314-436-7900, the garden hotline number to talk to Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer. Up next, we have Sue. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning. I have a question for Michelle.
Yeah, go ahead, Sue.
My husband planted a blackberry bush that was gifted to us in a big bucket, and we were wondering when we can plant that into the ground and if we should cut it back before we do or just leave it. It's grown pretty well but never has bloomed. It's been there for about 2 years.
I think you could start planting it now. Again, we have a really great weather pattern here for the next few weeks. And the sooner you get that out of the bucket and into the ground, it can start, you know, getting rooted in. If you did want to wait a little bit longer, maybe a couple weeks till we're firmly in September, that's also okay. It sounds like it's been in the pot for a while, so you're used to the watering and stuff like that. So, but definitely right now, again, super nice weather coming up in the next few weeks.
Okay,
and certainly fall is a great time for planting most things.
Okay, and should we trim that back or just leave it as is?
You can definitely prune it back. You know, I know that blackberries can send out some wild canes and can get a little bit unruly. So, you know, without seeing it, it's hard for me to tell you how much to prune it back. But you could, you know, you could probably give it a pretty good haircut because we really wanted to focus on making roots and not necessarily growing that top growth. So I would say you're okay to prune it back because you really aren't worried too much about berry production until it's in the ground and rooted in. So, I mean, I would personally cut it back. It's going to make it easier to plant and, again, focus more of its energy on root production.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your information.
Yeah,
enjoy
good luck
your
to
show.
You. Yeah, thanks, Sue.
314-436-7900, the garden hotline number. Carol, good morning. You're on with Michelle.
Yes, I have two questions. One is about peonies. My peonies don't look very good. Can I trim them back now?
Yeah, peony is a great time. You know, a lot of these peonies, like we were talking about a little earlier, are looking rough right now. A lot of them have powdery mildew. They're starting to brown out. So if you can leave them up longer, it is ultimately a little bit better to leave them up for as long as possible. But in my yard, especially the established ones, ones that have been around for a while, they can manage having some of those removed or even cut back all the way.
I have one more question. I saw an article about a very small butterfly bush. It could only grow a foot, and it was called Little Rockstar Red.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I went to all the nurseries around here. They did not have it. Can you give me the name of maybe an online grower who might have something like this?
I'm gonna be a hater a little bit on these dwarf butterfly bushes. We've had a lot of struggle with them. We've actually stopped planting them. Because especially in the fall going into the winter, they really have struggled a lot for us, the dwarf varieties, with dieback and some crown rot. I know that there's some newer cultivars out there, so I'm not saying don't plant them at all. I'm just saying maybe if you're going to plant it, wait till the springtime so it has a longer amount of time to get rooted in before the winter. And then, you know, it's not, for some reason, they're not super reliable for us. A lot of butterfly bushes aren't. A lot of butterfly bushes, even the larger varieties, will have some winter damage and we have to cut them back. The other thing I will stress, I don't know this particular cultivar, but try to find a variety that they say is sterile. There are some butterfly bushes that are becoming a little weedy or even invasive in some areas. So I'm always just a little bit hesitant on butterfly bushes. But as far as online sources go, I mean, there's so many. I don't know who's making it. You know, different companies make different types of plants. So that cultivar might be a proven winner plant. And so they're going to be websites that sell that particular type of plant. And, you know, there's just different growers and different breeders that sell for different things. So what I would do is just, you know, Google that plant. And a lot of times if it is something like proven winners, it will take you to that website and it will show you local growers that might be, or local nurseries that might be selling that plant. So I would try to figure out who the original grower was, whether it's, you know, Proven Winners or Walter's Garden or something like that, and then try to find a local supplier through that route.
Okay. One more short question. I have a gardenia plant that's about 3 foot tall. How far back can I trim that to bring it in?
You know, I don't always recommend trimming before you bring them in. You can, if you do it, I would do it, you know, kind of soon. So it has some time. But again, when you prune something, you're basically asking it to make more. So I wouldn't prune that back more, you know, than a third, I would say, before you bring it in.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Good luck to you.
Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. 314-436-7900 is the Garden Hotline. Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping here, answering your questions throughout the morning. We're going to continue with those after just a short break on 104.1 FM KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. It is the Garden Hotline with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping, answering your questions on this gorgeous August morning. Again, the forecast, 70s for the next few days. Great gardening weather. I mean, we've had these weeks where it's been 100 degrees, and that is not gardening weather.
It is not. And I think a lot of people neglect their gardens through those times of heat. And if you're anything like me, your gardens are full of weeds. So
yeah.
I'm going to take the next few days of lovely temperatures and be out working in my garden for sure.
And the weeds love the heat, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, they're everywhere. And they're big. Mine are big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the phones. The number to call is 314-436-7900. We have Bunny up next. Good morning.
Good morning. My question is, I want to know when to replant boxwood. It's okay to do it now or to trim now?
Yeah, so boxwoods, really don't mind. They love these cooler temperatures that are coming up. So as far as pruning, I think you were starting to mention that boxwood pruning, you can start doing that again. I would wait until they flush out. And then we try to get boxwood pruning done and over with by, you know, middle of September, maybe the third week in September, you should stop pruning your boxwoods for the year. And then as far as transplanting or planting boxwoods, you can really do that up until the ground freezes. And if you're going to do it this fall, I would definitely, you know, wait a little bit longer, maybe a little bit into September for that, especially if you're transplanting, making sure that you're, you know, waiting till the heat is gone. And, you know, we are in St. Louis, so we could get a heat wave at any moment again going into the fall. So waiting for transplanting, probably, you know, into late September if you're transplanting. But if you're buying new boxwoods and putting them in the ground, I think, you know, now or starting to plant here in the next couple weeks, starting really in September is when I start thinking about most of my planting. September into, you know, by October, I'm done planting my perennials, but shrubs and trees and boxwoods, evergreens in particular, love to be planted in the fall.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, good luck.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thank you. Up next, we have Aaron. Aaron, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I have a question. I have a problem. My property is being overtaken by honeysuckle. What can you do? I cut it out and burn it off, and it grows back. Is there any particular time of year that you could try to get ahead of this stuff? Is there any particular chemical I use? I went to Farm and Home here a while back. And maybe you can confirm or deny this, but the guy was telling me that if you go out there in like late February, like when it's very first starting to, things are just starting to turn green, that that's when you cut it and then spray it with whatever chemical. He told me the name of the chemical, but I forget what it is. Do you got any? Can you confirm or deny any of that? Or
yeah, Aaron, I love talking about getting rid of honeysuckle, so I'm happy to give you my opinion on this. So typically, what I have learned and try to do is to do it in the fall, right? So I think about these plants and how they are, how they're behaving. So plants in the fall are taking all of their energy down into their roots. So if I want to kill something, I want to take all of that pesticide down into the roots. If you do it in the spring, it will, it will weaken the plant, doesn't always kill it. But in the spring, the plants are sending all of their energy from the roots out to new growth. So it's not necessarily as effective. So really, you'll see a lot of things coming up in the future. They're called honeysuckle hacks a lot of the time. But you'll start seeing that because fall is the best time. So what I would recommend is getting they have these little daubers that you can buy that have glyphosate or some kind of pesticide in it. So after you cut it, you can just daub it on there like a bingo dauber. The other product that I love the most is called Tordon, T-O-R-D-O-N. And that's just a really strong herbicide that you can paint or daub onto a fresh cut. So I would start doing it, late September is a great time when things start going dormant.
You try to cut it as low as you can.
Yep.
And then you actually, do I drill a hole in
nope.
it at all?
Straight on the fresh cut.
Okay. And it's called Tordon?
Tordon, or you can use a Roundup and maybe mix it a little hotter. So, but happy honeysuckle hacking.
That's horrible. It's everywhere.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for the information.
All right, Aaron. Thanks for calling. 314-436-7900 is the Garden Hotline. We're going to take another hour of your questions. Michelle Reeser West here from Pointer Landscaping. Friendly reminder, when you do call in, make sure you turn your radio down or off. You'll be able to hear the signal through the phone because we have a delay. The Garden Hotline will continue after the news. Stay tuned. 104.1 FM, KMOX. Hour number two of the Garden Hotline on a gorgeous August morning with Michelle Reeser West from Pointer Landscaping here answering your questions. The number to call to ask yours, 314-436-7900. We've had a lot of calls in the first hour, a wide variety of issues.
I like it.
Yeah. Although you said you hated a couple things.
Well, I'm a hater. I like the questions, but I do like to hate on things a little bit.
All right. We'll continue with your phone calls right now. Up first, we have Martha. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning. My question is, I have hibiscus, a bunch of them. They're beautiful. How do I treat them or how do I take care of them for the winter?
Great question. I am assuming you are talking about a hardy hibiscus.
Yes.
So on the hardy hibiscus, I like to wait until, our first frost happens and things kind of go dormant. But a hardy hibiscus will grow back every season from fresh stalks. So the ones from this year are no longer needed, essentially, for next year. So you can leave them up all winter if you want. I believe in the hardy hibiscus, those are a type, they are really pithy, so the center of their stalks are sometimes used by overwintering insects and stuff. So if you're into that kind of thing, you can leave them up all winter. Otherwise, if you just don't want to look at them and they, you're just cleaning up for the year, I would cut them back, like I said, after that first frost, and you can cut them back to 3 or 4 inches. I've seen people leave them up a little bit higher. But again, those aren't going to do anything next year. So if you leave them up higher than those old little 6-inch stubs or even longer will eventually break or fall off or decompose. So I like to cut them back to like 3 or 4 inches, and then you can have all that fresh growth the next season.
So I don't dig them up and put them in the house?
Nope. They are hardy, so you shouldn't have any problems with those coming back next year.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. God bless you.
Thanks, Martha. 314-436-7900 is the garden hotline. Let's say hello to Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I have a question about a tree. It's a redbud tree, and it wasn't doing too well. It's a neighbor's tree, but anyway, it wasn't doing too well. So it's like going into third year. So the top of it was the branches were dead and had a little foliage, but it was growing up like a bush. So what she did is cut off all those lower things. It looks like a little miniature tree now. But we noticed that around the tree it was washing away the sorrel. So we're wondering if we should put what kind of sorrel should we put around it? Compost and other sorrel, or to build it up so that the roots don't look like... looks like the roots are really coming up or something. It's really weird. Mm-hmm. The way they planted it is kind of on a hill, and it's washing away the sorrel.
Sure. Yeah, so sometimes when we plant on a hill, it's, you know, we do have some washout issues on the on that lower side. If you, we don't want to cover up the roots too much. I would say no more than an inch or two over the top of the roots that are there.
Okay.
But I would do probably like a 50-50 mix.
So like compost and topsoil?
Yeah, so they have different blends that you can get. You know, okay. You can get plain topsoil, which a lot of times actually doesn't have that much organic matter in it anymore. And compost is just pretty much all organic matter, so you kind of want a mixture of both. Okay. So you can either, you know, buy a bag of one and a bag of the other, like if you're getting bagged product. Mm-hmm. If you go to a lot of our mulch suppliers, they will have pre-blended soils already.
Okay.
But at minimum, I would do 70-30, but I like in my, if it's in a bed or around plantings, I like to do a 50-50 mix.
Okay. So another question, if you don't mind, I have a really old butterfly bush,
mm-hmm.
and it's gotten so big, and I wait until, this fall and wait until next year in the spring, see if there's any dead and cut it off. But it's so big, so I'm thinking of cutting it back pretty much this, when should I cut that back? Because the flowers are still on it, and I know you're not supposed to cut it back till it quits blooming.
Mm-hmm. You can do either. You can do it this winter if you want, or this mm-hmm. fall into winter, because it does sometimes get winter damage. I like to cut mine back in the late winter, early spring, and okay. those butterfly bush can take a really hard pruning. So there's a lot of times,
okay.
I mean, you could take it back to 12 or 18 inches, and they will flush out new growth. But again, they do get winter damage from time to time, so if you are mm-hmm. going to do a hard cut back, I would recommend doing that. In the late winter, early spring. If you wanted to reduce the size a little bit this fall, so maybe it's just so big and
right.
unsightly, you could do a little bit of pruning now for shape.
Okay.
And then in the late winter, early spring, you can do a really hard cutback.
Okay, but aren't I supposed to wait until the stops flowering? Or
yeah, for sure. I mean, I would wait till later this fall, late fall into early winter to do any pruning, because you don't want, if you prune now, you're going to get rid of all those.
Okay, and I don't want to take up much time, but I have irises that rebloom. I mean, I've been lucky with them reblooming, mm-hmm. but now, of course, they've gotten so thick, I really need to separate them. So I'm waiting for this fall rebloom, and then I'm going to separate. Is that going to be too
yep.
late?
No, I would do it with, as long as the iris really like to do it when there's still a little bit of heat. So I wouldn't necessarily do it, super
later.
Late in the year. If you're trying, I would try to get it done in September. And I don't know when they typically rebloom for you, but
mm-hmm,
I would do it
yeah,
sooner than later.
Okay. Well, thanks for all your information. I appreciate it.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for calling in this morning at 314-436-7900. We continue with the phone calls for Michelle Reeser-West. Peggy, you're on the Garden Hotline.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Michelle, I got a question. Can you use Roundup or like an Ortho spray on poison ivy that's around an established, like, 50-year-old oak?
You can. I'm actually fighting poison ivy in my yard as well. But, yes. So Roundup doesn't typically work on poison ivy. I just bought a spray the other day that was specifically for, it said poison ivy spray. And I can't remember what the active ingredient in it was, but I think it was... 2-4-D maybe in it, which you can buy in a concentrated form. But I would also just recommend looking for something at your garden center, big box store, hardware store, that specifically says poison ivy on it, because it is a woody weed, and it can be harder to kill than other ones. But as long as you're getting something that's like a foliar spray, then that shouldn't harm, especially an established oak, because you're going to really just be spraying it onto the leaves of the plant and not, you know, on the leaves of the tree around it.
Yeah, because it's just the trunk of the tree. There's no, you know, branches down there.
Is it actually growing up the oak?
No.
Okay, good.
It's you know, separate, but it's surrounding it.
Sure, yeah. And if it were, just if anybody's out there listening and you have poison ivy that has attached itself, because it will do that, attach itself to trees and grow up, and it can get quite large over the years, if that is a situation that you're dealing with. One of the things with poison ivy and really any kind of old vines that have been growing up a tree for a long time, we typically just recommend cutting those and making a pretty good cut, so it's separated by, you know, an inch or two between segments, and then treating the bottom part with that herbicide straight to that cut so that it will die. And then the top part will die back on its own. And then, you know, after some time, it will either start falling off on its own, or you can easily pull it off after, you know, like several months go by.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, this was, it's stated on the Roundup and this ortho spray, it said poison ivy.
Yeah, so ortho spray, I could believe that. If it's just your regular old Roundup, and maybe that new formula is a little bit better for poison ivy, but typically Roundup is not always strong enough. And it might be if you do multiple applications, like very close together, it might be effective. But for in my experience, Roundup typically isn't a great one for poison ivy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I know we had put some on it prior to this, and
Multiple sprays. If that's what you already have, you can use it. Just do it multiple times.
Yeah. Now, are there? This is another question. Do azaleas have like a dwarf version? Are there just
not really? I don't know of any azaleas. They look really small. You can get ones that are small right now, but over time they'll get quite large. So, and you can prune azaleas after they're done blooming, but they don't stay small. Over time, they will get quite large.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I have now. Mine's like 30 years old, and it's pretty big.
Yeah.
So, all righty.
Good luck, Peggy.
Thank you for calling in at 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. We've got some folks waiting. We will get to your calls right after a short break on 104.1 FM KMOX. Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Michelle Reeser-West is here from Pointer Landscaping, answering your questions at 314-436-7900. A lot of calls this morning, and the phones are continuing right now. We'll go to Sue. Hi, Sue.
Hello. I have three questions. I have goji berry plants that I bought, and I've got them in a pot, and they seem to be doing very well. Should I leave them in the pot, or if I transplant them to the ground, when would I do that?
That is a great question. I'm trying to think and rack my brain on our hardiness. I believe that is hardy here. I'm not super familiar with that one, but I do believe that's hardy. So again, we're really getting into or approaching a really great planting season. Especially in the next few days, we're going to have some great weather, and extended forecast out in the next couple weeks is really great. So, if you were inclined to do so now, you could definitely do that. Just, bear in mind that if we go through a hot spell or a dry spell, that you're going to have to keep that watered into fall, which, you're doing anyway in a pot, I assume. So just continued watering. Really, we start planting our planting season at Pointer, typically starts in September and goes through, October for our perennials, and then really October, November, even December, we're planting trees and shrubs. So, plenty of time left, but if you wanted to do it now, you'd have time for that.
Okay. Another question. I have a plant that looks like an oak leaf hydrangea. It's getting really big. I don't know when to cut it back or how much is okay to cut back.
So oak leaf hydrangeas bloom on...
It's not. It doesn't bloom. It's not an oak leaf hydrangea, but it has the same leaves. It looks like it. Yeah. And somebody one time told me what it was, but I don't know what it is. But...
Okay. I'm trying to think of something else that would have like oak leaf. It might be a type of viburnum. Has it got fuzzy? Is it fuzzy leaves?
No.
Okay. I'm not sure what it is. So you're saying it doesn't bloom?
No, it doesn't bloom.
So then I don't worry if it's not blooming for you. then most of the time when I think about pruning and when is it time to prune, I think about the bloom. And I don't want to affect bloom whenever I'm doing my pruning. So if it's not blooming for you, then I definitely wouldn't worry about timing. We are getting out of the heat of the summer, hopefully. So it's September is really a great time for a lot of our pruning. So I would think that now-ish, if you don't need to do a heavy pruning, and if you're wanting to do a heavier pruning on it, you should wait till it gets a little bit cooler.
Okay. A third question. I have bamboo that got out of the area it was supposed to be in. Is there a particular herbicide that works really well on that?
You're going to have to talk really mean. No. It's a hard one to manage. Bamboo's super hard to manage. We typically would use like glyphosate or something like that. If you use something like super strong, bamboo are suckers. And it's also really strong. So it's not like if you paint a part that you cut back, that it's really going to affect the main grouping of it. But, you know, something like a strong mix of your Roundup. Again, we talked about Tordon a little bit ago. That's really great. But it's honestly like with herbicide with that, they're still going to send out suckers. You're cutting off that that branch and then it's probably coming back from another sucker. So it's not necessarily coming back from that part that you cut off. So it's just a lot of times it's just managing cutting back and pruning back all of those suckers.
Yes, because it's even out creeping out in the middle of the yard. Uh-huh. You know, I see all these little...
Yeah, it's a really hard one to manage, and once it's there, it's there and it's aggressive. So
yes.
Good luck with that.
All righty, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks, Sue.
Thank you, Sue. Also, we have Bob. You're up next on the Garden Hotline. Go ahead,
Hello.
Bob. Yep, you're on the air.
We have a young dogwood. A wolf eyes dogwood, variegated, planted in early June, about 5 feet tall. And it was doing very well for a while, and now the leaves are curling up and turning brown and some dropping. Is there anything we can do about that or any idea what might be causing it?
Sure. So our variegated dogwoods, I don't know, did you plant it in full sun or does it have some protection from the sun?
Some protection, but it does get a lot of sun.
So a lot of times, so dogwoods are understory trees, naturally. They love to be on, like an understory setting where they're getting a little bit of shade, especially from afternoon sun. So if it's getting hot, blazing afternoon sun, and especially these variegated varieties that we're seeing can be a little bit sensitive to afternoon heat and sun. So that might be part of the problem. Another thing that we're seeing a lot this year on dogwoods is fungus. So like my little hot button word is fungus this year. Dogwoods can get several different types of fungus. One of them is powdery mildew. We're seeing anthracnose on dogwoods a lot, which is also a type of fungus. And then there's a few other ones. But dogwoods, especially this year, are looking pretty rough from all the fungal issues that we're having. My recommendation, I mean, we're pretty late in the season and we're going to be losing leaves soon. So is really just to keep an eye on it, regular waterings, letting it dry out a bit. Once those leaves start to fall, making sure you clean up that debris from that tree and getting it out of there, because a lot of fungus can overwinter and stay on the leaves of the plant that was infected. So just making sure that you're cleaning up those potentially fungal leaves and continue with good watering. But again, really bad year for fungal issues. And hopefully next year, you know, we'll have a little bit better luck with those kinds of diseases.
Oh, thank you. And is there any update on Mike Miller?
No, Bob, we haven't heard anything lately. But if something does is passed along to us, we will definitely share it.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for calling in. The number to call to ask your question of Michelle Reeser West is 314-436-7900. We have Bob from South City. You're up next.
Yes, I'm calling about the lady that called about the poison ivy killer.
Okay, what do you got for us, Bob?
Ortho makes what they call a poison ivy and heavy brush killer that you mix in a spray tank and you spray it, and it works great. Now, it also, though, you got to be careful. It will kill blackberry and grapevines, too.
Yeah, it'll kill a lot of things. That ortho stuff is strong. It does work well for the poison ivy, but it's you know, it is, if you guys use that, it's a, you know, it will kill whatever whatever leaf it touches. So, but that is a good product. I appreciate you calling in. But that's what I was referring to. There's a lot of products out there that are specifically for poison ivy and some stronger woody plants.
Yes. So, I've used it several times in the past down in the country, and it works great on poison ivy.
Well, thanks for the tip.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in, Bob. We're going to continue with your phone calls in just a moment with Michelle Reeser West from Pointer Landscaping on 104.1 FM KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. Stay with us.
KMOX Weekend at Your Service, sponsored by Air Comfort Service Heating, Cooling, and Insulation.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Is the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM KMOX.
And the Garden Hotline number to call is 314-436-7900. Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer is here answering your questions. And we're going to go back to the phones with Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got a couple of questions, and I'll do them real quick. I have hibiscus. Those are the big saucer plants, aren't they?
Yep.
Big saucer bloom. When do I transplant them? I put them in a spot that I thought was going to be adequate for them. Well, they've just kind of outgrown their space.
Sure. So for me, hibiscus is better to do in the spring. You could do it, if you're going to do it this fall, I would do it sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. You want to give it some time to root in. And it also is going to, for me, going to depend on your soil. If you are full sun, which they prefer, and then a moist, well-drained soil. So if you're sitting in a lot of clay and it's holding on to a lot of water, I would also recommend waiting till spring because I don't necessarily like sitting in that heavy, compacted clay soil. And it makes it harder for them to root in that type of soil too. And we really, in order for plants to do well, like the hibiscus, we need it to root in a little bit before winter. So for me, I like and prefer the hibiscus in the spring, which can you also have to be a little bit patient as well because those hibiscus are often one of the last things to emerge. So a lot of times people will ask, you know, is my hibiscus dead? But most of the time it's not because it's just, you know, delayed in coming out for the year. Compared to other things. So for me, I like to wait until I start seeing that growth just start to emerge, and then that's when I transplant.
Okay. Second question. I have liriope, and I think I have monkey grass. I'm not sure. Whatever. The liriope is not spreading, but the other stuff is spreading, and it's like, it's going to take over the entire front if I don't do something with it. So do I have to sit there and pick it out? Because I know it has rhizomes underneath the ground that it comes up on from, and it's like, I just don't seem to be able to control it. And it's overrunning, like, it's what it is it's in between the porch on the house and the sidewalk, and it looks very nice right now. Sure. I've gotten compliments saying, oh, that's just so nice and, you know, neat and pretty. And it is, but it's like too thick and it's just too much for that area.
Yeah. And
so how do I control it?
Liriope is, you know, can be a little bit aggressive, and there's different types. Some of them are, you know, more of a clump forming or a slower spreading. And some of them are really more aggressive or fast spreading. Monkey grass is just the common name for liriope. Liriope is the botanical name. So monkey grass, liriope, it's the same thing, but you might just have different species of that plant. So for me, you know, liriope, if you're trying to control it or maintain it in a certain space, a lot of times it's easy to just get your spade out and dig it out in that way. You can spray. I don't always recommend spraying because, like you said, it does have some underground rootlets, so it may not be as easily controlled in the shape that you want if you are just trying to maintain it in a certain area. So that can be difficult. If you're trying to eradicate it completely, then definitely using some kind of an herbicide can be helpful because it is sometimes hard or difficult to fully get rid of. Even when we remove it, you know, if you leave a little piece of that underground rhizome, then it can grow back from that. So liriope can be hard to get rid of, but my favorite technique is just a sharp spade to keep it in check.
Okay, and can I transplant the stuff I take out?
For sure. Yeah. Liriope is super easy to transplant. In fact, you know, like I said, even if you dig some out and leave it, it will regrow from that. It is one that I like to do earlier in the fall or in the spring just to give it some time to get rooted in. But certainly very highly transferable. So definitely can do that.
Okay. My last one is about a crepe myrtle. There's a house in my subdivision that has a crepe myrtle that is black. They look black from the road, and it has a beautiful red bloom on it. Mm-hmm. and I don't know the name of it, and so I can't call a garden center and say I want that black crape myrtle. Do you happen to know the name of it, and how do they grow? Are they good growers, or what? I've never had one before.
Yeah, so I believe the series is called Black Diamond Crape Myrtles, and they do have, there's like white ones and red ones and pink ones and purple ones in that series, but it has that dark purple leaf. I will say that crape myrtles are really beautiful plants. They're southern plants, so if you go down south, they're like enormous and they're everywhere. Here they can be a little bit finicky, because they are not always winter hardy up top. We call them root hardy, basically. So a lot of times we'll have a lot of winter damage on them, and you'll have to cut them back all the way to the ground. So they will typically regrow. They don't typically die, but they're not as magnificent as they are down south. So again, great plants. If you know what you're getting into, this is definitely one that I recommend planting in the spring. So it has all that whole time to get rooted in throughout the year. Again, anything that has like a winter damage or issues getting through the winter, it's not always great to plant them in the fall because they don't have as much time to get established before that winter comes. So I try to recommend crepe myrtle planting either right now to give yourself plenty of time for rooting in, or wait until the spring would be less risky. But Black Diamond series, I believe, is the name of that dark purple cultivar.
Okay, do they die back a lot? Can you shape them?
For sure. Yeah, so crepe myrtles bloom on new wood, so you can pretty much prune a crepe myrtle whenever you would like. Again, because they have winter damage, I like to wait until the spring when they start pushing out growth, so I know where that winter damage is. I'm just a lazy gardener. I don't want to prune twice, so I wait until the leaves start flushing out. But you can reduce the size of those. A lot of times you don't need to reduce the size because they're having winter dieback and you're going to cut them back to the ground anyway. For the smaller shrub varieties, but they bloom on new wood, so easy to prune any time of year.
All right, thank you for calling in at 314-436-7900. Michelle's going to continue taking your questions right now with Gary. Good morning, Gary.
I'm going to plant a Chinese fringe tree in my backyard, and I was wondering, is it better to do that now or next spring?
So Chinese fringe trees, beautiful selection. I really like those. They're very unusual, and for those of you who have never seen them, they have this beautiful white flower, very amazing display. It's kind of unlike most flowers, kind of a feathery, plumy a look. But you can definitely plant those now. A lot of trees are going to be going in for us soon. And on that fringe tree, you can really, you know, if you can wait a couple weeks to start planting. But again, we're in a great weather pattern right now. So if you have it, you can go ahead and plant it now. And all the way up until the ground freezes. So really, October, November, December, still a great time for tree planting.
Okay, thanks much.
Yeah, good luck.
Hello, hello, hello.
Thanks for calling in. I don't know what is going on. There was some weird animal in one of the earlier calls.
I know, I heard it. I wonder what it was.
I forgot to ask what it was. Let's see, who's next? Jim, you're up next on the Garden Hotline with Michelle.
Hi, thanks. I've got two quick questions. One about grass. I have a yard that I've done zoysia sod for the last couple of summers, and it's taken really well. But I've got an area that is 100% shade that kind of would transition into zoysia on both ends. It's a long, narrow area, and it's on a hill. And so I'm getting a lot of, I just don't have any grass there now. I'm wondering from a temporary perspective, if there's anything I could plant at this point in the season that would help kind of save from the dirt washing down onto the sidewalk going into the winter. And then is there a permanent solution that I should do that would transition reasonably well into zoysia?
Okay. So again, I'm going to try to limp through this one because the turf stuff is not my forte. But as far as I know that zoysia doesn't like shade. So they always say, the fastest way to kill zoysia is to plant a tree, because zoysia absolutely does not like growing in the shade. So transition areas can be hard in these situations. In my mind, you know, I want to get rid of all the turf areas and plant pretty flowers. So that's probably not the solution that you're looking for. I know that people will from time to time do like an annual rye, which will germinate pretty quickly. And then it dies out because it's just an annual. If you don't let it go to seed, it will die out in the next season. But as far as like a permanent replacement for that, I mean, I don't have a great answer for you other than, you know, our typical, my yard is a hot mess of a bunch of different things, crabgrass, zoysia, fescue. You know, I'm trying to get it under control, but the front of mine is zoysia in my backyard. I think was zoysia, but the trees have kind of crowded that out over time. But, you know, I don't know what area that, if that's an area where you could make a garden bed or if it's an area that doesn't make sense and you're looking for like a turf alternative. You know, I don't have a good answer for you for that other than I would personally just make a flower bed there and plant something that likes the shade.
Okay, thank you. That's kind of what I thought. The second question that I have, we have a Japanese maple that has been a beautiful maple, but just this year, it appears that about 40% of the branches did not leaf out. Mm-hmm. And it's not in any one place. It's hit or miss. And so I guess my question is that a tree that's dying? Or is that something that I can kind of trim back? And it's a big maple. We probably should have trimmed it before now.
Without looking at it, it's hard for me to tell. So I'm going to give you a couple of options and I might ask a couple of questions on the branches that are dead. Is it the full branch or are you noticing it's just the tip, or where is the branch dead?
Yeah, it's mostly the full branch, okay. but there'll be like, you know, four or five main branches with small branches off of that. I don't like a main branch might have two of the five branches off of it that are dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's what I want to recommend. There are a lot of things going on that can go on with our Japanese maples. Some of it is winter damage, which we saw a lot of in the last couple of years, not so much this season, but last year and the year before. So some of that is showing up now. You know, a lot of times what we're seeing and how our plants are reacting doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily happening from what's going on immediately in that time frame. A lot of times the stressor could have happened the year or two before. We've also had some crazy periods of drought and things like that. So it could just be stress and that you're just having some random dieback. The other thing that we've had in the last few years is cicada damage. Japanese maples, we've seen a lot of cicada damage, which is why I asked if it was the whole branch or just the tip. Because on a lot of the cicada damage, if you look on the bottom side of the branch, a lot of the tips of the branches are dying back. And that can be investigated, and you can see that there's kind of like a zipper-like wound on the bottom of that branch. So that's a possibility. You know, Japanese maples also are susceptible to different fungal issues, which we've seen a lot this year. They're also susceptible to a scale, which is an insect infestation, which you would see. They attach themselves to the branches. So without being able to investigate all of that, it's hard for me to say exactly which one of that is. The other thing can be the soil. So if you haven't had a soil test, you may want to take a couple samples around the base of that Japanese maple and send it off for testing and specifically tell them what plant that is struggling. And they will send you a report back for that type of plant. Like maybe you need nitrogen or maybe you need to add something else. So that is a really easy, relatively low cost. I think it's $25 or $30 for a soil test at the extension office. But that's where I would start.
Okay, we've got one more segment left with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. We'll try to do a little lightning round here with the callers we have.
Sorry, I talk a lot.
104.1 FM KMOX. Michelle Reeser-West here answering your questions. Let's go right back to the phones. Phyllis, you're up next. Good morning.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for taking my call. I'm not an experienced gardener, but I have grown these lilies for quite a while. It's the ones that have the leaves in it that look like a pineapple. Mm-hmm. And I noticed in early July that from the bottom up of the soil up to three quarters of the way up, all the leaves were eaten off. I did not see, I looked it up, and I did not see any beetles on them. And what I'm concerned now is that if I want to separate them, because I've got quite a few out there, I mean, is that larva down into the bulb of it or something? I mean, do I have to worry about it the next year, or can I go ahead and just, you know, cut them down and replant them where I want them?
I think you should go ahead. You know, there could be a lot of different things that are eating it, including rabbits. It could be a rabbit issue.
I do have some rabbits, but I just thought it was strange that it was just three quarters of the way up.
Yeah. And so it could be, you know, it could be the rabbits. It could be another bug. But most bugs have like a life cycle. And they also aren't always a problem year after year. It depends on what kind of bugs they are. So I would definitely just go ahead and transplant and just kind of keep your eye on that next year to see if you can discover what it is that's eating it.
Can I go ahead now and cut them down, you know, dig them up and replant them where I want them?
Yeah, you sure can.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks so much.
Thanks, Phyllis. Hi, Nancy. You're up next on the Garden Hotline with Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. I have some nut grass that I clipped, and then when it was open, I sprayed it with nut veg, and there's some in my garden, and I was wondering if there's, how long can that stuff stay in the ground and damage the garden as far as, you know, all the chemicals. We just don't want to eat so many chemicals.
Yeah, I mean, for me, chemicals around my edibles is I almost never do it. You can pull nut sedge, you can dig nut sedge out. So if you're doing it in your veggie garden or around something that you're eating, I would personally just try to dig it out. And it may come back, but if you try to get as much of those underground roots, then it will help. But for me, I almost never spray any kind of chemical, like a pesticide or herbicide, around my edible stuff. So I would just recommend digging it out.
Thanks for calling in, Nancy. Up next, we have Mark. Good morning, Mark.
Guys, I got three quick questions for you. A friend of mine just gave me some banana trees. I just transplanted them into a pot. Do they need a lot of sun?
Yes, full sun. Full sun on the bananas.
Okay, and then my next question is, I just took up a pit, firewood pit, and I'm raking it out and everything. Is it okay to go ahead and put seed down now and let it start taking over? Or?
Yeah, for sure. If you want to make sure you get all, get that raked up, maybe add a little bit of fresh soil. But yeah, rake it over and get your seed down. You may wait, it's going to be pretty great temperatures in the next few weeks. So it might be a perfect time to get some of that seed down.
Okay. My last question is, when can I got some hostas. It's just taking over everything. When is a good time to start splitting those?
You can do that now into the fall. You can wait a few weeks if you wanted to just do a little bit less watering. But as long as you're watering, you can do them up until frost, I would say. And then, again in the spring would be a great time. But hostas are super tough and can really be transplanted as long as you're watering them any time of year.
Thanks for calling in, Mark. Mary, you're up next.
Hi, quick question. What is the best time to have your dogwood trimmed back?
Right after flowering in the spring.
Last question from Wendy. You're on with Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. We have a couple of small crepe myrtle bushes, the real small ones, and they're 12 years old. And last year, they came out, they smelled beautiful, but no flowers. And I know they're late bloomers, July and August. So I thought we'd try them again this year. They came out beautiful. They still look, the foliage is beautiful. No blossoms. Are they just old?
It could be. I would do a soil test and see if they need some fertilization.
Okay. We got through all the calls.
Look at that speed round.
Wow, speed round was really good. Good job there, Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. It is Labor Day weekend next weekend. That's insane.
I know.
And the Garden
nuts.
Hotline will be here for you as it always is on Saturday mornings. I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in to Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.